The Bastards of Boston Baseball Podcast.
Back to Folk. Red Sox fans have longed to hear it. The Boston Red Sox are world champion. Game over, series over, and the Red Sox are world champs again.
Yes, indeed. Here it comes. Another edition of the Bastards of Boston Baseball.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Save big on everything for your next project when you shop at Menards. Dutch Boy's DuraFighter is an interior paint and primer in one with a top-lasting formula. It provides great scrub resistance and durability with remarkable hide and a smooth finish. Save big on Dutch Boy's DuraFighter paint at Menards and start your next project today. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for more great deals happening this week.
Save big money at Menards.
Welcome back to another post-game show with your Bastards of Boston Baseball. I am your host, Charlie Smith. You can find me on Twitter /X at Smith_MLB. My co-host for this evening is going to be Terry Cushman Jr. at Cushman MLB. That is where you can find him. Bit of a late night facing the Athletics in Sacramento, but not too late for Conley early. Bad joke? I don't know. 11 strikeouts, 5 innings, absolutely dominated. Ends up matching Don Ozzie, who struck out 11 in his first career game as a rookie, as a member of the Red Sox back in 1977. Then he never struck out 10 or more ever again, which is insane. But I don't know about you, man. And I don't know if I can speak for Chris. Chris should be able to sleep really well at night knowing that the Red Sox are mowing. That puts us now to 81-65, 16 games above 500. We've got 16 games to go, and we're tied in the wild card for the first spot. What do you think, Terry?
Well, the A's can't hit lefties.
They cannot. They absolutely cannot.
You start the day, and Dustin May's not going to pitch, and so Connelly early is going to pitch. And the Red Sox, I saw some article. They said top pitching prospect Connor Early will start tonight's game. And I'm like, he's a top pitching prospect? I'm like, 20 hours ago, maybe 16 hours ago, I'd never heard of him. How many mock trade packages did he just get put in this summer?
Allegedly, the Red Sox didn't want to trade him. But I'm actually really shocked. Your first concern wasn't, we should check in on Charlie because Dustin May's not pitching today.
Well, I did have to let Doug know, in the chat. I'm like, yeah, never mind. That's kind of an inside joke that no one else is going to laugh at. But yeah, so anyway, so, you know, I go look up early. I'd never heard him. I didn't hear his name get kicked around one time in July. So I'm like, but then you look at his numbers real quick. He's got 130 something strikeouts for 100 innings. So just mows guys down. He's a punch out machine, but he's a lefty. So I got thinking, I'm like, okay, all right, I see what's going on here. So, you know, we jammed them with lefties last night. They don't score a single run. You don't really want Dustin May pitching in a perfect world here. And he's on the injured list. And I don't know. Supposedly he had an MRI on his forearm. I don't know if I believe it or not, but it worked. Like you said, five innings from early. I think he had 4 or 5 runs in that very first inning. They tacked on one more later, but yeah. The A's just can't hit lefties.
No. And to your point, that's 132 punch outs in 101 third innings pitch combined between AA and AAA is a 2.6 ERA. Only made six appearances at AAA before they're like, yeah, let's give him a shot. 23 years old. I was actually really excited to hear about his like kind of his background, his family, you know, mom and dad traveling all the way from the East Coast. One of his brothers traveling down who is in the armed forces. So for those that are listening, thank you so much for serving this country. Without you, we couldn't do what we do. And then another one of his brothers is playing at UT. So was able to take a plane from Texas to be here for his brother's first career start. So, I mean, you love that. I do love whenever there's like a rookie making an appearance. First pitch wasn't a strike, didn't matter. He was absolutely hauling. And to your point, I don't know how bad Oakland is or if it's possibly the fact that Conley Early is just that good. They fronted him with a four-run head start. Romy Gonzalez had a solo shot, ends up leaving Early with, I think it was some tightness, unsure how bad that is. And then Rob Refsnyder, dude, I don't think that ball came down yet. It was like 467 feet, like it was past left field, past the, you know, facility, and then another 30 feet, and then that's where the ball went. I mean, he absolutely torched it. The first four runners of this game scored. I thought we were going to score 10. At that point, there was no end in sight. And finally, Jeffrey Springs, who has a little bit of history with the Red Sox, calmed back down. But you had elite defense, incredible hitting, and just five innings of just FU baseball. You can't lose with that.
Yeah, that home run by Refsnyder was 460 feet. That's the furthest home run hit this season.
By him.
Well, by any member of the Boston Red Sox, from what I heard.
Correct. Yeah, it was two by Romy, two by Jaron, and that was number one.
Yeah, so, you know, it was very timely. I thought it had been a while since he had hit a home run, but apparently he hit one on August 28th against Baltimore. When was the last one before that? I guess he hit one in mid-July. So he just hasn't been hitting a ton of them in the second half, but definitely a big one tonight, and it put the game out of reach. I mean, you get up 4-0 as long as Conley Early just doesn't choke. You know, in his first start, it's almost an automatic W at that point.
I want to talk about a couple things. So, you know, we're just busting up with Chris Felico a little bit here. You know, in the war room, we sometimes have some fun moments and some fun comments being thrown around. Garrett Crochet leads the Red Sox past the Athletics, and you shut him down 7-0. That's it. You've now won two in a row. You're back up to 15 games over. You feel pretty good. Then you bring up a guy who's had 0 minutes of experience in the major leagues, comes out and shoves five innings, 11 strikeouts. Not too long ago, you said Garrett Crochet might have just lost the Cy Young, right? Do you think that that performance yesterday reinvigorated the conversation for him to be the Cy Young? Because I don't see how he's not going to get it. I still don't.
Really?
I just don't, man. I think even if you have a couple of blips, Garrett Crochet is the most dominant pitcher in the American League right now. He's the most dominant. And I think the third place winner is going to end up being Aroldis Chapman. I think Tarik Skubal is going to come in second.
You think Chapman will be as high as third?
I think it could jump that high. Yeah, if he doesn't allow another hit for the rest of the season, yeah, it's going to be pretty hard to not do it. He's allowed one earned run in four months. Like, it's stupid. That's dumb. Before, you know, he's had one earned run since May 27th when he gave up that earned run in the crazy walk-off grand slam by Yelich. He's been absolutely on point. Sub-1 ERA, just over 0.6 whip. Guy's insane. He's absolutely on fire. But I want to talk about this. I mean, you've now shut him out back-to-back games, 13-0 run. Oakland does not look like they have an end in sight. The bottom, we don't know where the bottom is for Oakland. But earlier this year, we gave our predictions. I said 88 wins. Terry, you said 93. And people thought, well, Terry, that's kind of high. And I think it's going to be smack dab in the middle between where you and I got it. I think it's going to end up being about 90, 91, which Jeremy Schilling, one of our co-hosts, said 90. Jason said 85, drinking the punch, maybe too much, I don't know. But it would take a massive just fallout in order for us to get to 85. We'd have to only win four more for the rest of the year. I don't see that happening. But I want to talk about something with you, and I'm curious to hear your take, because maybe after hearing this, you think 93 is still possible, right? Remaining schedule, you have 16 games. You have Oakland. You've shoved the last 2 days. There's a chance we sweep. The Yankees, we've been putting them to sleep. We're their daddies this year. I think there's a chance that maybe we take 2 out of 3 against New York. And then you get Oakland again for another 3. There's a chance to take a minimum 2 out of 3 in that series too. So I'm thinking 5 and 2 in your next 7. That puts you at 86 and 67. So just a couple of games under the 20 mark, right? And then you have a couple of days off. You have a day off before you get to New York. You have a day off after New York. You get Oakland and then Tampa Bay, another day off. And then you get Toronto, Detroit, which are going to be some pivotal games. The Yankees lost today, so we're tied. We've played 2 more games, but I feel really good about it. I've been saying that the floor is the second wild card spot. I think that's going to happen if the Yankees somehow can maintain their level of play. But I'm curious to hear, you know, based on that, you got Oakland, New York, Oakland. That's the next 7. And then you got Tampa Bay, Toronto, Detroit. Where do you see the Red Sox going?
You know, I can't remember if I said it my last episode or last week sometime, but it's just such a hard season to predict.
Yeah, it is.
I mean, and I did have us at 93 wins, but I'm not going to take credit for that at this point, because even if we get 1 or 2 from it, because, you know, I mean, the reasons I predicted that was I thought Buehler was going to be our second best starter. I thought Tristan Casas was going to be serviceable. I thought Devers would be the best player on the team all year.
Sure. Of course.
He's gone.
Now he's doing great.
So for all the reasons I picked us to get there, I mean, none of those are in play. And it's just been this wonky season where we've just kind of defied the odds in certain things. And our momentum has caught at the right times. We've done a great job beating bad teams, by the way. I mean, we're seeing it. I mean, I thought coming off of the Diamondback series, I'm like, well, you could easily drop 2 of 3 to Oakland. I mean, that's a hot offense. They've hit more home runs than us, and
they play in a little league ballpark, though. A
couple other metrics as well, but like I said, I'm not going to take credit for it. How do I see it? Well, I mean, if all you need to be is a left-handed pitcher with a pulse, I mean, you got to like Tolley's chances tomorrow.
I feel pretty good about it.
Apparently. And he wasn't even supposed to start, but I literally think after yesterday, either Cora or Breslow was like, we just gotta start lefties. Go get early. No one's heard of him, but go get him.
Real quick. Do you remember when we had just like the straight up lefty rotation? You had Chris Sale, you had David Price, you had Drew Pomeranz, you had E-Rod. 4 of your 5 guys were lefties. I remember thinking, this is just too much. You shouldn't have more than 2 or 3 sway, you know?
Yeah, Valdi was the only righty. But, but yeah, I don't know. So that's how we're going to run it out. And it lines up for early if they want him to pitch next week against Oakland. That's going to line up that way. So I don't know how we're going to do against New York. I mean, we're going to win at least 1, maybe 2. We'll see. The thing that's at stake here is if you do end up that top wild card seed, you're gonna host that series. So that's big, you know, and you know both teams want to do that. So, you know, we'll see what they bring. I'll be curious to see if we end up hitting against Rodon. He was really solid the last 1 or 2 starts against us. So we'll see. And then you got to feel pretty good about Oakland next week. And then Tampa, I don't know what to think. I think that could be a tough series potentially. And Toronto and Detroit, there's a lot at stake there. They both want to keep their first round buys, and even if you're the number one seed, you keep home field throughout, and that's big.
So what would you do? Actually, we'll just phrase it this way. Where do you think the Red Sox stand right now in runs scored before tonight's action? Or after, actually, we'll say this, after today's action, where do you think they are?
Well, I mean, I initially I'd say probably fifth or sixth, but we've been so quiet.
We're fourth. Really good. Fourth? Okay. We're fourth, right? And then as far as runs allowed, we're probably in the middle of the pack. We're probably one of the worst teams. What do you think our run differential is? Where do you think we are with that? You don't have to give me a number, but place out of 30. Where do you think we are?
Well, I mean, earlier in the year, we were really high. And I feel like we've cooled off. I don't know, but I have a feeling it's going to be higher than I think. So I'll say fourth or fifth.
Fifth. The crazy thing about it is the team that I thought that was going to win the World Series, the Red Sox are half a game behind them in this, like, in the standings as far as the 30 teams are concerned. The Dodgers are half a game better, which is insane. They've experienced one of the worst free falls I've seen in a very long time. The Red Sox have scored 7 less runs and have allowed 13 less runs. Now, I predicted Red Sox-Dodgers World Series. I don't know if I still quite see that. It's going to be tough for both of those teams to actually get there. Phillies are starting to, you know, do work. Schwarber became became the first National Leaguer with 50 dingers this year. The Padres have an insane bullpen, good offense. They lost, I think it's Jason Adam, one of their relievers for the rest of the year, had like an ankle pop or something. I'm not sure what it was. But I'm not going to lie to you. I feel really good about this team. I think there's a chance. Like, we're going to continue fighting. I don't know if division is still in the cards. You know, Toronto's going to – they're going to keep fighting. And Terry, you're the first one out of the group to say it. They're a fun team to watch. They're a fun baseball team. And the Red Sox took a page out of that book with some fun. And now they're there. The one concern I have is something you brought up on a recent show. We've gone nearly a month and no Breggy bombs. Dumb point to bring up the contract thing. You're totally right. And I do want to say that because I don't think there's a planet that there's no chance he's getting $1.75 over 5 years. There's no way. There's no team that's going to do it. I don't think it's going to be. I think the examples you used were Baltimore and Seattle, right?
Yeah. If those are the teams that come to the table with the deal he wants, is he going to feel good about it?
No.
He's going to feel dumb for opting out.
Absolutely.
But yeah, we got into a deep dive last night on that. But I don't think this team is built for the postseason, but I didn't see 2021 going 2 games from the World Series. So we'll just have to see. And yeah, I think they're going to ride this out with early. And so we'll see what some of the better teams might be able to do. But the only starters at face value you feel pretty good about is Garrett Crochet and Brian Bayo. So we'll see. And actually, getting back to the Cy Young debate real quick here, I still think it's Scooble because he started one last game, so maybe that'll even up tomorrow or the next night. I don't know where he lines up, but his ERA is 47 points better than Garrett Crochet. The strikeouts are about even. I think Crochet has him, by 6 strikeouts, but again, he's had one extra start. Scooble has a 0.86 whip. Crochet is at 1.05. Batting average against Scooble is 195. It's 221 against Garrett Crochet. So I gotta give the edge to Scooble at this moment. I'm rooting for Crochet, and if he ends up with it, then more power to him. But we'll see. But they've each got what, maybe 2 or 3 starts left. So if one of them gets hammered on, maybe that'll be what decides it.
If Tarik Skubal has a blow up like Crochet did, because you saw Crochet allow 7, his ERA jump from 2.4 to 2.6, 2.7, something like that. Would your opinion change, or would you still be leaning Tarik Skubal? He does have a far better whip. You know, I'm not going to debate that. you look at the walks numbers and you look at the total innings and whatnot. Tarik Skubal, 28 walks, 180 innings. Crochet, 42 walks, 185. He's got six more punch outs and he's pitched another five innings on paper.
It's close.
It's hard, close. Right? It's really hard. I'll be happy. I'll be ecstatic if Crochet gets it. Two reasons. One, he plays for the Red Sox. Two, I called this last year. But I mean, the argument is that Tarik Skubal is still an excellent pitcher. And I'm curious, like, how would Tarik Skubal do if he actually had a proper offense, like on a consistent basis behind him? Detroit at times has not been very consistent. But if you have to pit Detroit's offense against the Red Sox offense, who would you take? And a lot of people would take Detroit.
It's close. I mean,
it's very close.
The Red Sox just, they're not playing to their potential offensively, you know. I mean, and you're dinged up. I mean, you don't have Anthony now, and Romy left with a knee issue. I don't know. I'd be more nervous if it was a hamstring or a calf or something like that. So we'll see. But I've been wrong. I didn't think Meyer was going to be done for the season, and he was. So we'll probably have an update tomorrow on what the prognosis is. If they don't put him on the injured list tomorrow, I would say cautiously optimistic. He'll probably just miss a couple games. And you got an off day on Thursday. So we'll see. But the Tigers, I don't know. They just kind of feel like that team of destiny. I mean, they've been the only team this year that's just been consistently good from start to finish. I think they had one spot where they lost like 10 out of 12, but they kept the lead in the division, and, you know,
they are really good.
And AJ Hinch is just a guy that knows how to win. He knows how to get his team in the right spot. And, you know, and they've proved that last year wasn't a fluke, and they swept us earlier in the season. So I it's hard for me to say we're better than Detroit.
Well,
any metric. You got the eighth and ninth innings. You're better in those innings.
No debate there. The issue that I have with your offense, and people are going to say, oh my God, I mean, they just smoked this team. Romy's out. Bregman can't hit home runs. And I mean, if you can't hit a home run against Oakland in their park, we got issues. Abreu's not here, and you shipped Devers off. They've got two guys with 30 home run power. Torkelson can hit 30. Riley Green's over 30. Carpenter's on that team. He's done fine. Torres has had, that's Gleyber Torres for those that are paying attention. He's had a little bit of a resurgence. Like, their team is, like you mentioned, they've been consistent. And even though they may have had a rough patch, on paper, that means nothing. Because if you have to take Detroit on in a seven-game set, if you have to do 7 games 10 times, you're probably losing that 8 times out of 10. They are that good.
Well, we're going to see them one more time before it really counts. And I have no idea.
Last series of the year.
Yeah, I have no idea how we would line up. If we're the first wild card, I think we end up on the other side of the bracket, so we wouldn't see them till the LCS. The three seed, not the third wild card. The three seed. Right.
You would be on the other side.
Yeah.
That's correct.
So,
yeah.
We'll see. We'll see how it shakes out. But yeah, Detroit's not a team I want to mess with. I mean, Toronto has had a better season against us. We'll play them one more time and see how that goes. I don't know who I really want to play. I guess I'd want to play the Yankees, but that's not going to happen unless you're the fourth and fifth seed. So one of us is going to be the three seed. The three seed. So you're probably not going to play the Yankees early. Or no, actually, you would. I'm sorry.
You could. But honestly, I'm not even – I can't guess playoff matchups yet, only because there are still way too many possible outcomes today. You know, it's not like the teams are 3-4 games away from each other. We're tied with the Yankees. So that 3-game set that we have against them is going to be incredibly important. You take 2 out of 3, you're leading.
Yeah, I was thinking the top wild card was the 3 seed, but that's not true. The weakest of the 3 division winners is the 3 seed. So that puts us at the 4 seed. So we almost certainly will end up playing the Yankees unless they get super cold and then the Mariners get super hot. That's the only way you won't end up playing them. But the Yankees is the only team I feel really good about. Let's put it that way.
Well, if you end up being the 4 seed and you take on the 1 seed, which is expected to be Detroit, right? They think Detroit's going to finish first. Or do you think Toronto's going to take it?
I think Detroit will take it.
I think so, too. And so if you take on the Yankees as the 5 seed, the 4-5 plays the winner. Oh, actually, no. 4-5 takes on number 1, which would be Detroit. And then 3-6 face 2. So more than likely, it's going to be Toronto, if I'm playing this out in my head, against Houston, Seattle, I think is 3, you know, would be 3rd and 6th technically on paper, because Houston would be the 3rd division and Seattle, last I checked, was the 3rd wild card. So on paper, that's what it is. Now, Texas has started doing well. So is there a chance that maybe there's a late sneak in? Maybe Texas comes in, Seattle gets bounced out.
Wow, Texas is right there. That
they're right there. They're right there, dude.
Fascinating, because I mean, Houston's barely hanging on right now. They got 78 wins. The Mariners have that 3rd wild card spot with 77, so that's only 1 behind in the win column. And then the Rangers are only 1 game behind the Mariners. So the Rangers theoretically can leapfrog the entire wild card round and win the division.
Correct.
They're only 2 games behind. They've won 3 in a row, 7 of their last 10. Mariners have won 4 in a row, though, and Astros have lost 2. So that everything is far from settled at this point.
Yeah, I mean, the Red Sox currently on paper, according to ESPN, have a 96.2% chance of making it. In the West, they're giving those teams no higher than 80% outside of the Mariners, right? The Rangers have a 23% chance of making it, but I'm not looking at the Rangers schedule for the remainder of the year, but I'm curious how many Houston and Seattle games they have. Texas has 3 against Houston at Houston.
That's
going to be fun. That's going to be massive. Absolutely.
And Texas, I mean, they just lost Adolis Garcia on the injured list. I don't know what the prognosis is. They don't have Eovaldi for the rest of the year.
Right.
That Merrill Kelly trade, which last I looked, which wasn't even that many days ago, was working pretty well. I mean, he's got an ERA in the low 3s. I mean, he's basically just kind of maintained the season he's been having.
Right.
So we'll see.
Yeah, really quick on Seattle, too. Seattle finishes up their season, 6 of their last 9 games, 3 at Houston, and then 3 against the Dodgers at home. So that's going to be interesting, too. I'm curious to see how that one plays out. Overall though, what do you think is going to happen between the final Athletics game and then the next 3 Yankees games? Do you think that there's a chance that we take 3 out of 4?
Yeah. I mean, like I said, it's hard to imagine we're going to lose tomorrow unless Tolley just doesn't have it. And one of the reasons he apparently got beat so bad by the Diamondbacks was apparently Tolley has elite extension, so he releases the ball closer to home plate more than most other pitchers in MLB, and apparently that messes with a hitter. And so what the Diamondbacks did was they adjusted their pitching machine to compensate for that. So they were all taking batting practice with the adjusted extension. So they've got next level preparation there. Oakland's not doing that. So
no.
We'll see. I mean, hopefully he'll look good, but I'm skeptical as far as how much Toley can help us for the rest of the season outside of tomorrow. And do I even want him pitching in the postseason is another thing. I don't want to ruin him, you know. And I don't think we're the team of destiny, so I don't really think it's worth trying to force the issue with him. And we'll see what Connor Early does. But I would say at least 3 out of 4.
I'm with you. I think 3 out of 4 is fair. And then also on top of that, we're leapfrogging the Yankees. We would be second. And then who knows? Maybe Toronto is a complete flub up and we just find ourselves one game out of the division lead. I mean, so much could change. I mean, there's a world, it's tough, it's hard to imagine, but there's a world where the Red Sox could get the 1 or 2 seed overall out of 6. There's a chance. Not a high one, but there's a chance.
Well, I think you get a better shot at just winning the division. And I mean, if you can be even with Toronto by the time we start that last series against them, you know, everything's in play. I don't know where we are as far as the season series goes. That could really come into play here.
Against which team?
Toronto.
Let's find out. Because I'm also kind of curious about that. Should have had this one up because I had a hunch we were going to talk about this one too. But I seem to be one of the only ones that's really, really excited about the possibility that, you know what, maybe we just leapfrog everybody and just take everybody by storm. So when it comes to Toronto, Toronto did win the series. They won the first three. They won the first three, and then we split the final 4 games. We won 4-3 and we won 15-1. That was that crazy late June affair before they came back and won the last game. So we've had one crazy blowout against Toronto. Otherwise, they've had our number.
So if they win just one game in that set, then there's no way they can lose it. We can tie, but they can't lose it necessarily.
Well, it's a 3-game set. They're up 5-2. So on paper, we would tie it up 5-5. We can't win it. We can tie it.
Yeah. So what I was saying is if Toronto just wins one of those games.
Oh, that's it. It's over.
Yeah.
They've got it. 100%. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. So anything else you want to add? Excellent. Go Red Sox, as Jeremy and Nick the Voice would always say. It seems to be a good omen when we end our show like that. We end up just, you know, shutting out our opponents. For anybody interested in checking out great daily articles, bastardsofbostonbaseball.com is where you can go. Everyone have a great evening. Take care.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $300 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $300 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$300 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply, in-app only.